Let us join together in hearing the gospel for today. It's a very, very familiar and probably the most famous of Jesus' words. Within this gospel is John 3:16. And actually, my favorite, though, is John 3:17, and that's part of this gospel for today. So we begin with verse 3. Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you," and this is Nicodemus. Maybe I should start back a little bit. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The gospel of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace on this, the Holy Trinity Sunday. You know, we don't often hear people say, "I'm going home for the holy days." Don't hear that much anymore, do you? Or, "Let's celebrate the holy days together," or "this holy day, this Trinity Sunday together." We don't hear that. However, that is what holidays means. Two words, holy days, from Middle English, which I had to take in college and was expected to read in Middle English when we were studying Beowulf tale. Kathy, remember, she was in school with me down at the university in Eau Claire, remembers those times too. And Middle English was one of the courses you had to take if you were an English major, and speak it. So we knew all about holy days. So whether you say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, you are indeed offering a religious blessing, regardless of which you use. So also today, the holy day of the church. And we have this commandment, number 3, when you were in confirmation, you remember it well. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But sometimes, as we see in today's gospel, rules and laws makers keep us from doing the loving thing in our world, from loving our neighbor and thus helping bring in Christ's reign or kingdom. the reign of God here on earth. That's what Jesus encountered all the time from these religious leaders, these Pharisees, when they even tried to trick him with their complicated, convoluted laws, especially regarding no work on the Sabbath. Every time he did something, whether he spoke or whether he held up a piece of grain or whatever, they'd say, "That's a work. You can't do that on the Sabbath." So we might ask concerning holy days, who decides what is holy? Who decides that? Well, lots of people. That's the problem with us humans, and Jesus' problem in today's gospel. Religions often set parameters. You know that. Parameters on how we dress, what words we use, our moral thinking, what we can do and when we can do it. And some of them aren't written down either, are they? For example, I was in a church once, the church I was confirmed from actually, where you're supposed to know that you don't wear a sweatshirt and sweatpants to Sunday service. You just don't do that. No, you dress up for God. That was always the expression, you dress up for God. Where's that rule? Well, there isn't one that Jesus had or that any of the Christian faith has that you can find written down anywhere. It's one of those unwritten rules. Like many traditions in the church, you're just supposed to know it. Nowadays, hopefully, we really care less about what you wear to church, and more, we care more about how we treat one another with love and with kindness and care. I guess we finally get that message when we share love and kindness rather than concern about how someone dresses. My favorite theologian, some of you may know, is Rudolf Otto. He wrote a book called The Idea of the Holy. And I read that before, when I was in seminary, I was picked as one of the people to, 20 people to lead a service. And of course I got Holy Trinity Sunday, one of the tough ones. But I love this book by Rudolf Otto, The Idea of the Holy. It really helped me. He said this. He said many things in his book, but this is what he said about the holy. Holy is unfenced or has no boundaries. When only mystery and love are there, not laws. Holy is unfenced. I just love that expression. And those Pharisees are right there in Jesus' life. They no longer knew the reason for many of their laws. They were just there to be obeyed. Just like some of us don't know that holidays mean holy days anymore. It's lost its original meaning. Sometimes rules become absolutely ridiculous too, don't they? Case in point, not a religious case in point, well, maybe kind of. My father lay dying in an Osseo nursing home. The doctors there would not prescribe a medication to ease his pain because they said he could become addicted. Yeah, in the few months at the most he had left of life, the doctor would not budge. So when I came in on a Good Friday between services and saw him in great pain, I demanded an ambulance to take him out of that torture chamber and to Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire to hospice. Wow, did that happen quickly? I didn't know that if you demanded something like that, they had to do it. And the pain relief came moments after he arrived at the hospital. He lived from Good Friday to Easter, but he died with no pain in 1981. Rules sometimes have exceptions, don't they? Certainly amid the opioid crises that we have now, we want to protect people, don't we, who have lives ahead of them, but there are always needs for exceptions to the rule of common sense and mercy for some. Indeed, Jesus moved us from Sabbath law, which the Jewish people were really into, to Easter Sunday love, to resurrection love and celebration in new life in him. Then we hear this Nick at night. I always call this Nick at night, Jesus as light story. Nicodemus was a teacher too, just like Jesus. Well, not just like Jesus. He was a teacher of law, and Jesus was a teacher of love. So this thinking person, smart guy, Nicodemus, he came to Jesus at night, did you notice? In other words, the night was a reflection of his not understanding. Came to Jesus at night to get some understanding because he knew Jesus had these gifts of healing and calming waters. Jesus had control over nature, and he raised people from the dead. So he wanted to get to know how that all happened, but he needed something to cling to. So the two teachers met, Jesus, the beloved rabbi, and Nicodemus, the rules teacher, met at night. And as I said, night connotes a lack of understanding. Nick, the legalistic teacher, seeks signs. He wants to understand this, but he wants signs. Jesus, the new order teacher, offers not signs, but faith. You have to have faith. Jesus could have given him signs until the sun came up. He gave none. Nick demanded signs to get control. Don't we sometimes do that? We want signs to get control of our world, to understand it. Some visible evidence of the eternity and eternally visible, and get some solution to life's mystery. All he saw was darkness that night. Concrete thinking for Nick didn't work at a faith-based level where Jesus was. And don't we all become Nick every time we seek signs for control in our little world? I have an amusing story about control. It's about my little grandson. He just finished second and third grade. He's in both grades, but second grade in the morning, third grade in the afternoon. Anyway, second grade in the morning, on the last week of school, which was 2 weeks ago, on the last week of school out in Colorado, amidst the COVID, and they were still wearing masks for school, still lurking, his desk or table mate, you know, they have this double desk or table, table mate kept encroaching on Dylan's real estate. He also started throwing things at Dylan when Dylan would move his stuff back. So Dylan let this happen for a little while, and then finally he thought he had to get some control of the situation. Yeah, my grandson. He took his black thin line magic marker and drew a line down the middle of the desk. Though this little 8-year-old taught a great lesson on boundaries and setting boundaries, it wasn't quite the way you're supposed to do it in second grade. He got in a heap of trouble. He lost his recess that day, and he became janitor in chief during recess, desperately trying to clean off the black magic marker. The thing I was surprised at is the other child was not punished at all, but such is life. When the seen deed is punished, not the unseen deed. So most of us learn to let go of some control in life just to live with others. Involving the Trinity, we go by faith, don't we? Jesus declares, and I love this quote from our gospel for today, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus was talking acceptance of the unknown, belief in that mystery of faith. And my favorite quote, I used to have this up on my wall when I worked at the technical college for 17 years, and the students loved it. It goes like this, and you've probably heard it. "We cannot direct the wind, but we can adjust our sails." We cannot direct the wind, but we can adjust our sails. Acceptance, letting go of control. And most of us are quite capable of adjusting our sails in life at this point, aren't we? We do not understand everything, including the wind in this world. We accept it without signs. We do not understand the divine Trinity, not totally anyway, in this world. We accept it without signs. Nick needed control, and it was not there for him. He was left in the dark because of that need for control. Laws and rules limited his sight. Those who live in fear often seek signs, often seek control. Sometimes they end up in disastrous situations, just like this past week when a worker went into a workplace and shot up those whom he projected as his hated people out of fear in San Jose, California. 9 dead employees from an out-of-control person trying to control his world, his little world. Terribly sad. And right now, with so many of these, I am at the point that I think every workplace should offer classes in anger management, with incentives for finishing the course, and also someone on staff as a mental health consultant. When we give up seeking signs, seeking control, that is when we enter this faith arena that spreads love, spreads care, not hostility, not fear. That is when we stop being Nick at night and we see Jesus as the light in this world, enlightenment of faith. And we come to understand, remember I said I like John 3:17 more than John 3:16, because we understand that better. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We need him. Once we get that message of overwhelming love from Jesus and his saving us, we understand something of the Trinity. None of us probably will ever totally understand the Trinity, including me. God in creation, God saving the world, and God still being in this world with grace and mercy. Sometimes it can come in the least expected places from the least expected people as emissaries for God. Take this gift of grace story in creation. One exchange building in London has a distinct, obvious carving of, guess what? A grasshopper on its side of its building. How's that for odd, a grasshopper? Why? Why a grasshopper? For a building connoting money and richness, wouldn't you think it would be a bull or a buffalo or a majestic lion? But no, it's a grasshopper. Well, to this English banker who established the place, that little tiny grasshopper had great significance in his life. You see, right after this banker was born, his mother abandoned him in a basket under a shrub. That very day, within minutes, a little boy came chasing, you got it, a big old grasshopper. The hopper hopped right into the baby's basket. The little boy and the grasshopper were that man's lifeline to a rich, full life in Jesus. That banker never, ever forgot where he came from and how he survived. Under a bush, found by a young boy chasing a grasshopper, who in essence saved him by jumping in with him, that grasshopper. He never forgot the grace of God coming from the least of God's creatures, a grasshopper and a little boy. We might contemplate for a moment, what carving would you make on your building for your source of being this day, on this Trinity Sunday. Your chance at life, your grace moment in life, your holy day. Would it be an animal? Would it be a person? Would it be an object? Well, I thought about that. And I guess mine would be mold. Mold. Yep. Mold. And maybe a thistle flower to honor Scotland next to the mold. For you see, a petri dish of mold combined with a Scottish physician named Alexander Fleming were the right combination for the discovery, you know what it is, of penicillin from the mold penicillum that made its way to America in the 1940s. Had my brother had pneumonia, he was born in 1940, he would not have survived. I was born in 1946. The first antibiotic that saved my life twice in my first year of life at Sacred Heart Hospital on Dewey Street, the old hospital, was penicillin. The mold and the physician were a godsend to me and so many others over the years from the late 1940s and forward. So I, like that English banker and many others, were saved by the grace of God working through another, in this case, a mold and a Scottish physician from another continent. Through that grace of God working through another, a grasshopper, a boy, a mold, a physician. What is yours? You have one, and you have been saved by the grace of God. We often put rules behind Jesus' call to love God and to love one another in this world before anything else. That boundless, unconditional love of God, his Son who died and who rose again, and that Spirit, that great Spirit, that abides with us this day, is the triune God, our saving grace. Happy holiday. Happy holy day. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.